It's good to have you joining with us today. Just wanted to speak for a little while this afternoon about the subject of suffering. Over the last number of Fridays, we've dealt with very simply, just from the heart, about some subjects that affect us all from time to time. Things like depression and bereavement and subjects that are difficult, almost taboo subjects that we maybe don't talk about as often as we should. And I just wanted to speak for a little while today about the subject of suffering. You know, the reality is that we live in a suffering world. All around us, there's the problem of suffering. And the great temptation is to ask the question, well, where is God in it all? We hear so much about God's love, and we hear so much about God's wisdom, and we hear so much about his grace, and we hear so much about his power. And with all of those truths in view, we often wonder, well, if that's the case, and if God is who the Bible says he is, well, why is there so much suffering? Does God not care? We're a little bit like Martha sometimes. You remember Mary and Martha, and Mary sat at the Lord's feet, but Martha was cumbered. She was burdened. She was cumbered about much serving. And she said to the Lord, "Carest thou not? Do you not care, Lord, that Mary hath left me to serve alone?" And the Lord said, "Well, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And that might describe your life this afternoon, careful and troubled about many things. And maybe one of the things that causes you care and anxiety is suffering. We live in a suffering world globally. I don't think there's any country or nation that you would go to, any town or village or hamlet, or indeed any home, that's a stranger to suffering. All of us in this world of ours know a little bit about suffering, some a lot more than others. Suffering is something that is not only real globally, but it's also something that's real nationally. We think of our own nation, and many people are suffering in it in different ways. And we think as well of suffering personally. Personal suffering is something that can be very hard to deal with. And I know it's very easy to say, well, there's always somebody somewhere else worse off than you are. And that might be the case. But that knowledge sometimes doesn't help you immediately whenever you're going through a time of suffering. We suffer physically in this world, again, to a greater or lesser extent, depending upon an individual circumstance. It might be something as relatively superficial as the toothache, but it causes us a lot of pain and a lot of discomfort. It might be something more serious, something like cancer or some type of illness that causes a lot of pain and a lot of anxiety and a lot of issues even within our families. Maybe the result of an accident or some other thing. Suffering is a reality physically. Suffering also is a reality mentally. I think more and more than ever now in our world, many people have got mental problems that they've never known before. We live in a very fast-paced society. There's a lot of stress, there's a lot of strain, and we hear a lot nowadays about mental illness, and it's a reality. A lot of people are very troubled in their minds, and they suffer mentally in a way that nobody else knows anything about. And sometimes, because it can't be seen on the surface, people shrug it off and think, well, it's obviously not all that important or serious. But I'm sure there are some that are listening on even now, and you know a lot about what it is to suffer mentally, and you know what it is to suffer emotionally. And then, of course, there are circumstantial sufferings as well. Things that happen in our lives, things that happen in our homes and families, things that happen in the workplace that cause us a lot of suffering, a lot of anxiety, and a lot of sleepless nights. It might be financial worries, it might be problems in the marriage, problems in the home, problems with our children. It might be bereavement, and that leads to a lot of suffering for many, many people. And we can wonder, well, where is God in a suffering world? The reality is that good people suffer. We're thankful for the Word of God, and Paul, speaking about the Old Testament scripture, says whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And you read in the Old Testament about Joseph, about Daniel, about Job, about David, about many good people who loved the Lord, but they experience suffering. Lots of women in the scripture as well, Rachel and Hannah and different people knew what it was to suffer adversity and trial and affliction. But why does God allow suffering? Well, we live in a fallen world, and the reality is that there is an unseen and an overlooked blessing with pain. Now, pain is not pleasant. We don't go looking for it. But pain is necessary. You know, if you had no feeling in your body, infection could set in that could ultimately lead to death. But because of pain, we are alerted to an underlying problem. And very often somebody, because of an ongoing pain, has gone to a doctor and got a diagnosis of a deeper condition that thankfully can ultimately be treated and cured. But if it wasn't for that initial pain and that initial discomfort and that initial suffering, you might never even know that there's something wrong, something radically wrong below the surface. And so it is with pain in this world of ours. Pain and suffering in our world highlight an underlying problem that affects us all, and we might not even be aware of it if we just lived a pain-free life. If there was no suffering, we wouldn't be aware, perhaps, of a deeper problem in our world. And the Bible says that that problem is sin, and it's a spiritual problem. And you remember in the Garden of Eden, whenever Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord said to Adam, as part of his punishment, he said about the ground, he said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee." And he says, "By the sweat of your brow," he says, "you'll till the land, and there's going to be hard times ahead because of sin. But I'm bringing the thorns and the hard things and the things that hurt into your world and into your life for your sake. Because if I just allowed the world to go on with this sin problem that results in separation from God, that robs God of his glory, that robs man of his purpose, that robs man of his destiny in heaven, if God didn't deal with that and allow there to be suffering and pain as a consequence, we would carry on regardless. The pain and the suffering in our world shows us that there's something wrong, and the problem is sin. Now, that's not to say that all suffering is a direct result of personal sin in an individual's life, but all sin ultimately results in suffering, and all suffering is ultimately a result of original sin living in a fallen world. But the lovely thing about the gospel is good news, and God has provided a remedy for sin and ultimately a remedy for suffering in the person of his Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible said suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He knew what it was to suffer in life. Right from the moment that he was born until his crucifixion upon the cross, his life involved a lot of suffering. He suffered physically, he suffered emotionally, he suffered loneliness, he suffered hunger, he suffered thirst, he suffered bereavement, and of course upon the cross, more than anywhere else, he suffered acute mental, emotional, spiritual and physical anguish. He was stripped of his garments, he was crowned with thorns, he was beaten beyond recognition, he was whipped, he was flogged, nails were driven through his hands and feet, and he suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Suffering helps us to identify with the Saviour, and his suffering helps him to identify with us. Hebrews chapter 4, the last two verses, are verses that I quote so often because they're so, so important. It says, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." That's just another way of saying we have a high priest, we have a Saviour who is touched, moved with compassion at the feeling of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And having suffered for us, he is able to support us in our suffering. And the reality is he suffered because of our sins. And so whenever you're in pain or discomfort, You can bring all of that to the Saviour's feet. You can bring all of that to the cross, knowing that he understands and he knows. What a wonderful, wonderful Saviour we have. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted," or "before I suffered, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." He said in verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And he said in verse 75, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me." And so the psalmist began to realize that in his pain and in his suffering, there was an unseen blessing. It wasn't pleasant at the time. It wasn't something they'd have chosen for himself. But through his suffering, he remembered that life is brief. He remembered that God is just. He remembered God's word and God's law and God's commandments. And he became God conscious. He became eternity conscious. And he turned his feet towards the Lord, and he was restored to a place of fellowship with him. So whenever you're suffering, whatever level of suffering that is, use it to draw close to God. Use it to think about the Saviour and to meditate upon his sufferings for you. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Come afresh to the Lord. Ask him for forgiveness if necessary. Ask him for help and for grace. And you can bring all of that and really identify with the Lord who suffered for you. But it also weans us off this life and prepares us for eternity, because the word of God speaks about glory land, about the new Jerusalem, about heaven, where there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no illness, there's no sickness, there's no bereavement, there's no curse, there's no sin. What a wonderful hope and prospect the Christian has. So I trust that if you're suffering today, and whatever level that might be, that God will encourage you and God will bless you. Thank you for listening, and may the Lord encourage your heart at this time. God bless. See you next time.